Hello and welcome back to Your Favorite Album, the podcast where we sit down with someone and say, hey, what's your favorite album? I'm your host, Adam Santiago, and joining me this week is Zach Zarillo. Hey, Zach.
Hello.
Thanks for agreeing to be on the show.
My pleasure. I've been listening for a while now. I don't remember the first one I listened to, but it's been definitely a while.
I'm glad to hear that people listen to this stuff, you know?
I do know that.
you know, you do this podcast thing, you know how it goes. So I like to just jump right into it. What's your favorite album, sir?
My favorite album is Untitled by Blink-182.
Which is a good one.
Yeah, it was their last album before they broke up for 5 years. It was released 11 years ago, so I was only 10 when it came out.
Jeez.
I'm 21.
You just made me feel really old.
I'm good at doing that.
Oh,
people
man.
Tell me I'm good at that.
I got you by a decade. Jeez. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, wow, you were 11 when this came out?
Yeah, I didn't get into... I didn't, like, become my favorite album probably for... not too long after that, but, you know, several years after that, certainly. But, yeah, my music experience in general has been weird because I'm born and raised in Manhattan, where we are now. I went to, like, a private boys' school, and no one... Like, people liked Blink-182 in sixth grade. And then I was saying this the other day. Like, then they went to 50 Cent, and then they went to Skrillex. and I stayed with Blink-182 to the point where, like, senior year, everyone's like, how do you still listen to this, you loser? You know? like, those are my memories of how, like, those three artists are my memories of how music, like, transcended in my school along my age group. And I just was like, no, I'm staying with here. I don't want to listen to 50 Cent.
Well, it's funny. This past weekend, I was chilling in my apartment because I was, like, down with this cold.
Listening to 50 Cent.
Well, that's the thing. A car drove by, and they were blasting 50 Cent out the window. And I kind of wanted to take the Twitter and be like, hey, I think a time machine just drove by blasting 50 Cent.
It's not like you're going too wrong listening to 50 Cent.
Yeah, no, he's got some catchy songs. I'm not going to, nothing against him, you know? He seems like a fun guy. He's got catchy stuff. So, okay, so you were 11 when this came out. So when did you get into Blink-182? Or was this your first, like, major foray?
So my best friend all my life, since I was, like, six, he's 3 years older than me. And he's from New Jersey, where I also spend a lot of time. And my first ever real memory of, like, truly falling in love with music is... He showed me In Too Deep by Sum 41 when I was 9 and he was like 12. So that's when that album would have come out, kind of thing. And that, like, changed, like, not then, obviously, but I can look back now and be like, oh, that's when my life kind of changed, because I had never, like, heard what, I didn't know what, like, pop punk was, right? Like, I assume I had heard, like, all the small things on the radio or something, but I had no recollection of it. So he got me into Sum 41 and into all Killer No Filler, and he then got me into Enema of the State by Blink. And I still was way too young to kind of conceptualize or grasp, I think, what, like, listening to music was truly, or, like, wanting to listen every day, or, like, you know, iPods were just coming out. Like, there wasn't, I probably had a better grasp then, frankly, than I can remember now, but I can't really think about it. But, and then I remember in, like, sixth grade, kid in my school, Nick, handed me a CD copy of Untitled, and I remember not being fully into it. And, like, the first song on the album, Feeling This, is my just favorite song, period. But I remember me not being into that song for a while. And I was on, I also remember this distinctly, like, I was on a vacation with my parents in the Caribbean. And on my iPod, I was like, I was into Blink-182 for sure, but I don't think I was into that yet. And I started playing the album and Feeling This in particular. And I was like, oh, wow, what? I'm an idiot. And but I was still really young. It was pre-high school for sure. I was probably 12 or 13.
Wow.
And then that was it. I truly spent, like, 4 years, probably 7th to the end of 9th grade, like, truly kind of only listening to Blink-182.
Wow.
And related side projects, so, like, Boxcar Racer and stuff.
Yeah.
But it was just, like, once I found it, that was it, because there's so many albums that they did that I think are, like, kind of perfect. And also I had no desire. Like, I probably listened to Sum 41 and Newfound Glory and stuff like that, but I was very much head in the dirt until, like, a friend was like, you should probably check out Taking Back Sunday and Brand New, which then led me to another.
The whole world.
That led me to the rest of the world. But until I remember I had never heard really Brand New or Taking Back Sunday until like the end of freshman year of high school.
Wow, that's so crazy.
Yeah,
especially when you think of how like into everything you are now. You
know? Yeah, those are my three favorite bands: Blink, Brand New, and Taking Back Sunday. And I really only listened to that album. You know, I've probably listened to that album like hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of times. Because it, like growing, like I was saying, just how everyone else around me transitioned way out of that, and I got bullied for it. Frankly, like, that was my best friend, really. Like, that album, like, got me through so much, and it grew with me. It's still growing with me, which I think is why it stayed my favorite album.
Now, let me ask you, if you had gotten, like, say if you'd gotten, like, Dude Ranch or Buddha, yeah, or Cheshire Cat before that, do you think it would have grabbed you as much, or do you think, because at this point they, you know, their sound had matured a bit, you know?
Yeah, it's like a lot of people who started on Dude Ranch, Untitled is not their favorite album.
Yeah,
like, whether they like it or not, a lot of people don't like it, but a lot of Blink fans do like it, but they still consider Take Off Your Pants or Jacket and
yeah.
or Enema of the State their favorites. I don't know, because I wasn't into anything pre-Enema, but I definitely liked songs. I loved songs off of Enema, and I assume Take Off Your Pants and Jacket before I found Untitled. I don't know, I think most fans my age or younger, their favorite Blink-182 album is 9 out of 10 times Untitled. I'm like almost wildly confident in that. But I think most people like 24 and up probably Dude Ranch or Enema. There's definitely a turning point. I think the turning point really is, did you like Blink-182 as Enema came out, or did you find them after? And that, to me, that's kind of the turning point, because there are so many people that are like, dude ranch is the best record, you're an idiot.
I
love Dude Ranch. I think it is such a good record, and you can really tell I think more and more what bands Dude Ranch had an effect on versus what bands like Untitled had an effect on, if they are influenced by Blink at all.
True.
Because Dude Ranch is just great.
It's just a fun album. You can just go through it.
You can just go with that. Same with Enema. It's just like, Enema to me is a perfect, true pop-punk album. It's just fun, enjoyable, like potty humor, as is Dude Ranch.
Yeah, totally.
You can just go with that. But Untitled is definitely more of an like emotional, you're taking a bite out of something.
True. Yeah, Dude Ranch is more like, hey, here are some nerdy ways to kind of feel better about a breakup or something, you know?
It's just, that's Blink at its like most pure form.
Yeah. Although Carousel is still one of my favorite songs.
So good.
And the Buddha version instead of the Cheshire Cat version. There's something about the Buddha version that I love.
I can't really listen to those records.
Like, really?
That's just too punk, I say in air quotes for me. I know that's not punk, but it's just that's two generations separated from where I am.
I get you.
Music is now 20 years old, which is that music is actually older than I am, really. So,
which is insane.
Yeah, I was either not born or like 2 years old when anything pre Dude Ranch came out.
Wow.
I was three when Dude Ranch came out.
Jeez.
Yeah,
that's insane.
I was not born when Dookie came out as a reference point.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
I'm leaving. That's insane. Yeah, see, like, Dude Ranch came at that point where Untitled came for you,
right,
which is insane.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what's so cool about Blink, is that they've really had, and I guess they're now, like, 22 or 23 years old as a band, and they're still, I think, the most important. I was having a conversation with this, like, last year. I remember I got a lot of people angry at me, but I was like, to me, for a long time, I think Green Day was kind of recognized as the, like, quintessential band to get you into pop punk and then punk music, and I think now Blink is that band, because I don't think, minus American Idiot, I don't think the music that Green Day made between Dookie and American Idiot resonates with anyone in my age group or below. No one I know in my age group likes Mourning, except like two people, you know. No one really cares about anything unless between those two records. But Blink, they had the perfect pop punk record. They had in Enema, they had Dude Ranch, which was a little more punk pop, and then they had like this serious album of Untitled. And so I think if you're anywhere near my age or younger, I think Blink-182 has become the most important band in overall punk, just because I think it's the gateway drug. Versus, I think Green Day used to be that for people.
Yeah, I get into trouble for a lot for not being a fan of American Idiot.
Yeah, I was I think in it was a year after Untitled came out. So I was in sixth grade, and that was such a huge record. That's one of the only records ever that has been, I think, overplayed for me. Mm. I just remember, I was like, how many more times can I hear Boulevard of Broken Dreams? Like, yeah. How many more times?
Yeah. Well, it's weird, because it's also, I feel like we've gone away from radio. So that doesn't happen as much.
That was one of the last real... again, in quotes, like scene albums or punk album or underground related bands that really got on the radio.
Yeah.
I think the only other ones I can really think of in recent time would be Fun or Paramore or Fall Out Boy.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
I don't even know what they play on the radio anymore.
Yeah,
it's
people are like, how do you not know any of these songs that come out? Like, it'll take me like 2 years to hear a top 40 song that's on the radio now.
Yeah.
I'll be like, oh, this is that person?
Yeah,
I'm like, you're lying. I'm like, no, I just in my car I have an aux cable, and otherwise I never listen to the radio.
I got a bunch of CDs or an iPod or whatever going. I'm right. Set. Yeah, like if I do music trivia at bars, I'll kill it like on a bunch of rounds, and then the next round will be like late '80s music, and I'm like, sorry guys, I got nothing here.
Nothing at all.
Sorry. Give me some ska, and I got this. So when everyone was like switching to like 50 Cent and everything in school, did you try to like, were you like one of those guys who's like, hey, you got to check out this album, this is awesome?
Like Blank? No, because yeah. I was so like bullied for it. Everyone would just make fun of me. Like, even like I'd play guitar. Like we had like a music room, right? And like sometimes we would go and fool around in there, and I'd play guitar and I'd just play like Blink riffs all day.
Nice.
And I'd be like, don't you know anything else? That band is like so yesterday, you know? And it's like, no, like what is so wrong with, I remember those kids in particularly being like, why don't you like anything on the radio now? In whatever grades those were. And I'd be like, what's wrong with liking music that I like? You know, I never got that. And I think that's why I'm kind of so lucky to be so involved, because it's like, I just want to like and share what I did now. And I think a lot of that is because I couldn't share it then. In fact, like the way that really changed my life was I started looking elsewhere to talk to people about music. And I met like one of my best friends through like a Blink-182 forum I spent a ton of time on years until it closed down, because I didn't know that other people liked this music either. That was a thing. I thought everyone had moved on from it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, there's hundreds or thousands of people here that like it, and potentially millions of people worldwide that like it. That's so cool. And that's kind of, even for me, like when I realized that the internet was like this incredible thing, just because I could find so many people that loved what I did. And then that eventually led me to like Property Zach and stuff like that, which is just started as a way for me to blog about Blink-182's reunion.
That's amazing. Like it's cool. Like once you realize that, hey man, I'm not alone in this.
Yeah, it was a really important, like probably the most important thing for me. And like, really think back on it, like besides actually finding like Blink-182 and falling in love with them, like as the next step, that like led me to any, like to the reason why we're talking here. Like it's a very traceable thing for me, I think, like step by step. Yeah,
that's it's cool when you find like just like, hey, we have this in common. No, really, we do.
Yeah,
let's keep going. Oh, this guy also loves this, and then just like goes from there.
And even like with Property Zach today, like a lot of the people that have worked or have volunteered for the site in the past or present, I found on that website Punk Disasters back then, and I've had friends for like upwards of eight years when I was in middle school because of that site, and it all traces back. Whether those people don't love or do love Blink-182 as much then, it has all traced back to them, which is crazy to me. Like I can call people, like one of my friends just like a photographer that tours a lot now, and it's like, oh, I can just hit him up if I ever need photo stuff or I never ever need help with something. And it's like, that's crazy that I met you 8 years ago. Like besides like family members or close loved ones, like I don't know anyone 8 years that I've really kept in touch with. So yeah, because I'm so young.
Yeah, I'm gonna say, yeah.
That might change, hopefully.
you got a lot of time, you know. But also to throw back to playing guitar and being into Blink 182, I do own Tom DeLonge, Seafoam Green.
Oh, I own that too.
Fender Strat.
Oh, I own that. That's a good guitar.
Oh, it sounds great.
That is a legitimately really good. I feel like most artist guitars are not that great. Great guitar.
Yeah.
Great guitar. And I love that the Tele neck is on the Strat. That's like the best part of it.
When you were probably listening to this, I was walking into a guitar center in Jersey. And after like playing it a few weeks, it was like I did a Wayne's World. I was like, nope, this time she's coming home with me. This is my first ever tax return.
So Let's go. My friend who was like a Dude Ranch era Blink fan had that guitar, and she's several years older than me, and I bought it from her. I was like, you're missing out. I'm so happy with this.
It's such a fun guitar.
It's a very fun guitar. It's a perfect pop punk guitar.
Yeah, exactly. Like you can play pretty fast on it.
Yeah, it was made well for him.
So you weren't really, when was it, like after high school, or was it mainly just like through like forums and stuff that you were like, you know, expanding or sharing your love of Blink-182 and stuff like that?
Definitely in middle school. Like, it's kind of hard to pin some of that down because it's harder to remember stuff in that era. But like, I definitely remember moments. Even then, I got like the first show I ever went to was when I was 14, and it was an Angels and Airwaves show at Roseland Ballroom. My parents didn't understand what like a concert was.
Okay.
And then to convince them to let me go to a concert with thousands of strange people that I didn't know and that they didn't know and that could potentially kill me, as my overly concerned Jewish mother would say. They like made my best friend, who showed me Blink all those years ago, and Sum 41, come into the city from North Jersey and like go to the show with me. I guess definitely in middle school I started finding all these people and talking to them, and then as the years went on, freshman year of high school, that forum closed down and I didn't have anywhere to talk about music anymore, and that was like a legitimate bummer. Twitter wasn't a thing yet. Tumblr was just starting, and a friend from that forum was like, you should check out Tumblr, and I was like, okay. And that's then also changed my life, because that eventually led into starting Property is Act. And again, if you go back probably at this point thousands and thousands of pages to like the beginning of where the Tumblr archive starts for the site, it's just I bought 5 tickets to see Blink-182 over 5 shows of their reunion, because I never got to see them when they were a band the first time.
Same here.
Yeah, so it's just a stack of Blink-182 posts, like... Yeah, because I registered for Tumblr like a month or two after they reunited. So yeah, and then it just slowly, I started meeting more people. I met a lot more people on Tumblr through my love of music, and then Twitter, and then so on. And now I'm like working in music, and that's an established thing. But for so long, it was just like, oh, you like this stuff too? Let's talk. What can we do together? Is what we're doing together even a legitimate thing? Like, there's always so many steps, like when you kind of dissect it, I think it's funny to think about.
Now how was Angels and Airwaves live? Are they good? I mean, they had a few good songs.
I'm a big fan. Yeah? Like that first album and their second, like that first album's one of my favorite albums ever. To me, it's kind of crazy if you think of the writers of Blink-182's run from Dude Ranch through Untitled, including Boxcar Racer, the only Plus 44 record, and that first Angels and Airwaves record. I think like those 6 to 7 albums are like arguably really, really good and impressive. To me, there's like no real stumbles on any of them over 15 years, which is kind of crazy. It was the first show I'd ever went to. It was essentially like a dream come true for me, and nice. I loved it. I think they sounded pretty good. I mean, I've seen Tom sound terrible, and I think part of now seeing Blink-182 is knowing that Tom's not going to sound great. But yeah. I flew a 16-hour trip to LA last November to see Blink play Untitled in full, and Tom sounded really great. The last song on the album, I'm Lost Without You, is like a ballady song. It's like a 7-minute song, and it's all Tom singing, and it's one of my favorite songs ever, and my second favorite song on the album. And I was very concerned going into it. I was like, God, I hope he doesn't really fuck this up.
Don't mess this up, man.
And he killed it. Nice. And that song was the best I'd ever heard him perform.
Oh, wow.
Ever. And all the times I've seen him or Angels or Blink or Angels. And I was like, whew, he pulled it out for this, because I know he could have done his weird stuff. Because at this point, Tom's just a freak, which is also part of my enjoyment. But yeah, that was cool. I mean, it's kind of a weird first show, right? I feel like most people's first real punk-related show is not in like a 3,000-cap room. But,
true, yeah.
Or in New York. This thing, like, I didn't go to a house show until I was a freshman in college.
I've yet to go to a house. Because, you know, like, yeah. Oh, that's it. Thanks, man. Ooh, thanks.
Good. It's rare for me to be more punk.
I'm starting up Property of Adam next week, and it's all about shitting on Property of Zach. Please follow.
There's a website now called Property of Hack. So. I never, like, people are always like, you never went to like house shows, or you never went to like small clubs.
Yeah, like I've done the DIY thing, right? Like, you know, totally. Like suburbia,
right. And that counts, I think, for sure. But like, I went to college in Philly, and there's such a prevalent house show scene. And even like my friends in Modern Baseball, like, they just started playing house shows, and that's how they are where they are now. But so that was my favorite venue. And my favorite venue is the studio at Webster Hall, because to me, that was the closest thing as a kid through middle school and high school. That was the closest thing I could ever feel like was comparable to when people on the internet were like, yeah, I love going to house shows or small punk shows. Cause even though like studio at Webster Hall isn't like a small punk club or something, to me, that's the first thing I ever really grasped that was small.
Yeah.
I remember in 2010, right after the site started, seeing like the Wonder Years play there, open for Crime and Stereo, and it was like there were 25 people there, and that was the coolest thing for me, because I was like, oh, not everything is big,
small stuff.
Like I don't think you ever grasp until you see it that like not every band is the biggest band in the world, or bands are struggling, or there's only a few people at this point who have found a band that you know are going to be the biggest band. And a few days ago, I saw Wonder Years headline the main room at Webster Hall and filled it to 2,000 people, which was insane. And there were 25 people that first time. So, yeah, like even just seeing Angels and Airwaves that first time was a very cool experience that I realized wasn't how it always is.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I saw Plus 44 before I ever saw Blink 182, and I was like, "This is interesting."
I never got to see them, which is sad to me.
It was a fun show. Although it was Travis at like 70% because he had broken his arm.
Yeah.
So it was like, man, imagine if he was drumming like crazy.
They stopped touring at the point where my mom started letting me go to shows.
Mm.
I also really didn't understand what like a show was for a while. Like it's like whenever you learn something, you're totally ignorant to its existence.
Yeah. And
I never really like got it. I was like, oh, you can go be one of those people. Like I kind of thought it was kind of like being on a TV show audience, you know. I just didn't know, like, how do you find these things out? You just, because no one ever showed me that stuff. I never had a friend that was like took me to shows or anything. I prefer going to shows alone, and that's probably because I never had anyone to go with me.
Yeah,
just because I found out everything I know about music through the internet fully, because there's just, I was not going to 50 Cent shows with my high school friend, you know.
You missed out, man.
I missed out.
Yeah, I was always just buying like a bunch of sample discs. Like Kung Fu Records used to have all the sample, like, and just like, all right, I like this band.
Yeah.
And then just going to small shows and all the opening acts was like that band.
Yeah, yeah. And I never got that experience at all, which is...
I started really late, though. I started at like 18, 19.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. But still, it's like even so that would have been like 10 years ago-ish, right? And so things were a lot different then. That was like when that era of when that album came out, like... The internet in terms of music was still kind of forming, and I think probably a lot more of it was homegrown, or like you're going out and finding things. There were still CD stores, you know.
Yeah, true. Though I've never seen the band Homegrown. Now that you, I know you weren't talking about them, but they just popped in my head. All the drive-through bands.
All the drive-through years.
So in your travels and your stuff with music, have you ever met these guys?
I did two meet and greets with Angels and Airwaves when I was like growing up through high school. One was at Warped Tour. I also didn't really understand what Warped Tour was, and I went to Warped Tour solely to meet Angels and Airwaves, which was awesome. I had Tom, my friend that sold me that Tom DeLonge guitar, was like, you should get Cheshire Cat signed. I was like, okay.
Nice.
So I took Cheshire Cat and a few other things to get signed. He's like, I thought he was going to like throw it on the ground and stomp on it, because that was totally still in the era when that was like the second, their Angels and Airwaves second album era, when when Tom was still like very anti-Blink.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what if he like stomps on this? And he smiled and he's like, I haven't seen this in years. And he signed it. And I was like, my life was made, kind of thing. And then Angels opened for Weezer at MSG in like 2008, I think. And I also met them at MSG. Otherwise, I've not met any of them, which is sad. I don't know that I could handle it. A lot of people have always asked, like, well, what if you interviewed one of them to like your face, to their faces, or over the phone for the site? And I was like, I don't know if I can do it. I think I could. There's part of me that thinks I'd be able to do an incredible interview, and a large part that's like, you'd be an idiot. I'd have to like hide my Blink-182 tattoo.
Yeah, when I went to the Plus 44 show, my friends were in the matches, were opening for them.
Oh, yeah.
So I got to hang out after. Yeah,
that's so cool.
And I was just like, huh, there's Travis Barker.
That's, yeah.
And I totally fanboyed, and I just like marked out in front of both with Travis. I was like, dude, you were great in the Aquabats. And he goes, oh, you remember that stuff? I was like, yes. That's, why did I say that out loud?
Sick.
And we just talked about the Aquabats.
That's so cool, though. I know they know of me through site stuff, just because I've been lucky enough through press people to do stuff surrounding them,
or yeah,
they've commented on stuff that I've posted about, like through Twitter or stuff, which to me is even insane. And again, like, the internet is so cool. But I assume I'll get there, and I assume I'll have to like fanboy, and I'm totally good.
After a couple seconds, you realize you're just normal people. We're good.
I think there's only like two bands that I would fanboy over truly at this point in my life, and that's like Blink and Brand New.
Nice. Yeah.
And I think I could like be fully confident walking into a room like to meet Mark Hoppus, and then I would walk in and I would just be out the window, and I'd be like,
Nah, super, super cool.
Let
like
me punish you.
Like, I was with him for like 5 minutes. We were just talking, and we were just talking about comic books. That was it. And it was like,
seems like a soup. They all seem pretty rad. Because even Tom is just insane. Like, it would just be I feel like having a hilarious conversation with Tom about aliens. And
I'd be so up for that conversation.
Up for that. That's
I love that stuff.
Tom
Let's
would
go.
Probably be the easiest to talk to because he's insane.
But in the best way possible.
Way that I would never want to change.
Yeah, I know. Totally. But that it's such a weird thing when it comes to like talking, like meeting people you've like been like such a big influence on it.
Yeah, and I'm really lucky to like have that semi often at this point. Like, I've met or interviewed for the site most of those people in my life, and even now with my record label, like Kevin Devine's been one of my favorite artists. He, in terms of like singer songwriter kind of artist, he's like my favorite, and I started going to shows of his years ago when I was in high school, and now he's on my record label, and
we have
8 releases with him planned, which is insane. And you know, like he sends me demos and stuff, and it's still a surreal experience for me, even though I work with him every day. And it never stops being the coolest thing, I think. Like, even just like another example, when I was even in high school, like members of Newfound Glory like produced albums by Man Overboard, and I'd hang out in the studio with Man Overboard, and there'd be like, I'd be going with to like the movies with them and like guy in Newfound Glory, and it'd be like, what is happening right now? Like, it's such a surreal thing. That is so, as long as it's always cool, I think, you know, you're in a good place as a human being.
Yeah.
You know, to not like be like, this is just normal life, or yeah, I'm the king of the world, like,
yeah.
That to me is lame. But as long as it's still so cool, like, even at this point, to be having a working relationship with someone like Kevin, and me to still be like, oh my god, Kevin Devine's texting me, he could be cool.
Yeah
like, that is still the first thought that enters my mind. I'm like, oh god, I don't want to sound like an idiot.
Yeah, like, I love when like friends that I know that are in bands will text me. I'll be like, you know, there's that geek out moment.
Yeah,
that's
totally
really subdued because we're friends, but it's still like,
totally,
I've always loved your band.
Yeah, no, it's so cool, especially when it's just an equal playing field, and there's mutual respect. But it's still like, dude, I would like scream your lyrics back at you at a show. Like, that's still so cool. Because exactly. At the end of the day, like, regardless of what I do, whether it's a podcast or a site or a label, it still always comes back down to the music itself, which is how it should always be. And there are definitely like people that forget that, and I'm sure I forget that at times too, you know, because it's all easy to forget and be selfish. But like, that's at the end of the day the best part, I think.
Yeah, and it's cool, like, finding out that, you know, 95% of the time these people are super down to earth and just like,
yeah, they're just, you know, dudes or girls that are bored all day at shows, yeah, and drink before the show and then go and play the show, and it's all natural. Like,
yeah. Last week I had a moment that was very, 2 weeks ago, I guess. It was just like surreal and just funny as all fuck. It was Saves the Day, Say yeah, Anything yeah, show yeah, at yeah, Irving.
I was there.
The show, the Tom Mullins Washed Up Emo mm-hmm. night afterwards.
Yeah.
I was there chilling with some of my friends, and there was this cute girl just like standing at the yeah. corner. I was like, wow, she's really cute, but I'm not gonna say anything. And my friends are making fun of me, and Rodrigo from Saves the Day walks over. He's like, what's up with Adam? And they're like, he's looking at that girl, he won't say anything. So he's like, all right, I'll be back. And like, I'm like, wait, one of the guys from Saves the Day is going to wingman me.
Yeah, it's I did this after like a DJ thing after show at Riot Fest this year in Chicago with my friend Thomas, who I do my label with, and a bunch of people came. It was awesome. Chris Connolly walks in during a Saves the Day song that I was playing, and he walks up to me, grabs like the microphone that I'm periodically speaking to and my face, and just starts screaming back the Saves the Day song to my face.
That's awesome.
And I was like, I'm done.
Yeah, it's I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah, an outrage. Like, it was so funny. It's just like screaming the same song. And I'm like, this is as good as it's going to get, really.
That's awesome.
That's like the most pure form of music and interacting with a band person you could ever want.
Heck yeah. Now, let me ask you. So say everything you've got going now and everything. Yeah. And so this album was probably like a big gateway and stuff.
Yeah.
Say this didn't happen. This didn't get introduced to you at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think any other album would have had that? Do you think it was a combination of the timing and the content of that album? Or
I think I still would have gotten into, because I was already into like Sum 41 kind of stuff.
Right?
And Blink even, and Newfound Glory and those bands. I just hadn't found the rock. I hadn't found like my rock of an album yet. And I think I still would have pondered my way onto the internet. And so during that time, like when I was growing up, we had that like MySpace scene phase. And I imagine that I would have gone into all of that music.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of glad I didn't. But because again, like I was saying at the beginning of the podcast, I just had my head in the like sand the whole time. I was only listening to that while that whole kind of phase of bands on just like all those MySpace bands that you can think of passed by. Like, I knew what Fall Out Boy was. I like Fall Out Boy a lot. Like, but I knew what all those bands were, like The Main or Mayday Parade or All Time Low or any of those kind of bands. But they all just kind of passed me by, and I never really dug in. But I imagine I would have dug in. Then who knows? I could be into metalcore right now for all I know, and I'm happy I'm not there.
Hey, man, there's some good metalcore out there. Yeah. I'm not going to...
I don't know. When it comes down to that album, like, to me, growing up for me in school was hard just because I was like always the sore thumb in terms of, like, I was a lot heavier as a kid. I liked things like music that everyone else hated and made fun of me for. And to me, like, that album has serious lyrical content on it compared to Enema of the State, right? Compared to Dumpweed.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's not too complex. It's not like The Devil and God by Brand New is my second favorite album. And that is like seriously complex, dark stuff that I started relating to heavily in mid to late high school. But I don't think I could have grasped that when I was like 12 or 13 when I started getting into Untitled. Untitled to me is like accessible enough because it's not like Tom DeLonge or Mark Hoppus can write really dark lyrics about like dying like Jesse Lacey can, right? But
yeah,
it's still dark. Like, you can still, the music itself has darker undertones, the lyrics are darker. It's not about like having sex with a dog, you know, in typical Blink-182 form. So I think another album like that could have gone through to me, but I think what was so important was there was true emotional substance in it versus a lot of what pop punk is, which is just fun, which is awesome. Like, that's part of why I love it so much. But I think I needed a little bit of a mixture as a both. And that served as a perfect way for me to transition from something I loved already, which is pop punk, into a little bit more serious. Like, feeling this to me is Blink-182's most... If you had to ask me one song to describe Blink-182 with, I would pick Feeling This, because has great riffs, is all just about sex, and is fun. And that's how that album starts. And then it transcends into like the darker stuff of the album, which is how I think essentially I got hooked. Because I found that song and I was like, oh, this sounds not like everything else by them, but it's close enough. And then I found the other songs and was like, yeah, this is hitting me in a way that music hadn't hit me before.
You were feeling it.
I was feeling it, man.
No, that's awesome. I totally had something to say and I just lost it making that horrible, horrible joke. Okay, so... You know, I always ask, hey, what song would you pick? I'm guessing it's going to be Feeling This.
I would pick another one, actually.
Oh, yeah. Shit. All right.
That would just be my favorite song.
Okay.
So, Feeling This in general is my favorite Blink-182 song. But I like when I pick a favorite song by a band, if it's on an album, I like to pick another favorite song out of that album. I feel like I get two choices in that case.
Okay, I like that.
And so... I really love I'm Lost Without You, just because that is like the first verse on that song is just one of my favorite Tom DeLonge lyrical moments. But I think as I grow, my favorite song is Asthenia, which is comes right after.
I'm staring at it. I'm waiting to see you get this.
I can do the track listing. I believe it comes right after Fallen Interlude.
Oh, there's one before.
Go?
Yeah.
Yeah, it comes right after Go. So that's my favorite. It's a very Tom DeLonge moment because it's about like space. And it's the great, like really fun riffs, but still like super dark matter for him. It's like being lost, like an astronaut being like trapped in space. He essentially wrote Interstellar before it came out.
There you go. He was all about it.
That's my pitch for the song. And yeah, that's just kind of my favorite song because it has those like my favorite musical moments of Blink in terms of like, to me, they just like the riffs are like all the leads and the riffs by Tom are just so good. But then the lyrical matter and the choruses I think are great. So that's probably my favorite song aside from Feeling This on the record.
So was that the one you'd say would be best to like sell the album? Like
selling the album, I feel like the best is Everyone Knows What I Miss You Is, because that was a true
hit.
That was a true hit. That's their best selling song, even better than All the Small Things. So that's like 7 times platinum, which is insane.
Well, you got to pick one, man.
Yeah, I'll pick Feeling This. I'm going to go with Feeling This.
All right,
that's my favorite. That's my go-to.
I will keep that noted. So you want to tell the listeners about Property of Zach?
Yeah. Property of Zach just turned 5, which is kind of crazy. I started when I was 16 in high school. Next year in 2015, a lot is changing for the website. I sold the website a few years ago to this company called Spin Media that own like Absolute Punk and Punk News. And I fought to get ownership of the website back on January 1st. And it's changing a lot. We have like a new design and I'm changing the focus for me to talk more a lot about music rather than just posting news every minute of the day.
Okay.
And that's like an exciting change to me because I'm a really big like tech guy. Next to music, I'm just like a huge tech nerd. So a lot of the blogs I read by sole bloggers, like not like a big company or not like a, like just independent bloggers or have a lot more opinions, and that's kind of where we're going more with the site, and I'm really excited about it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you've got some music stuff going on too?
Yeah. I run a label called Bad Timing Records with my partner Thomas. And I'm a label manager for a label I assume more people that listen to this podcast would know, called Jade Tree. And I also manage some bands as well.
Nice, man. So, see, you're doing it.
I'm doing it all while getting that college degree.
There you go. Jeez, in 10 years, you've covered a lot of ground.
I've tried.
See, even burst the bubble that I have yet to ever come near, and that's working in music, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this is me just getting to live vicariously through my friends and stuff right here.
I don't know that I could really do anything else, which is probably good and bad, you know? It probably makes me fight a little more to keep doing what I'm doing. I was talking with a friend the other day, like, someone's getting an internship, and I was talking about, I interned once for a music company, for a management company before I went to college, and I was just, at this point, like, I can't work for anyone else because everything I've done has been pretty independent. And I just, even then when I was leaving high school, I was like, I didn't want to do anything they wanted me to do. I was like, that's dumb. I shouldn't be doing this. I think I would fail tragically in the real world. And the music industry is a fake world for good and bad reasons. And it's like, I would recommend no one to get into the music industry, yet everyone that I like in the music industry, I never want to leave it. And so it's like a...
It's a weird
media. It is such a fake world. It's just not real.
But it's full of fun, though.
That's so much fun, and it's so much annoyance, and also, like, you can't explain it to anyone. Like, at this point, my parents get it, but it took so long. And no way to blame them. It's just like, what is a show? Okay, what does a record label do? Why are you making vinyl again? I thought that was dead. Like, you know, there's all these little steps that seem so wrong to everyone because they are kind of backwards. They're not like, you know, the music industry is not a progressive place. But I'm very happy to be in it.
It manages to take care of itself in its own weird way.
Yeah, it has its cycles. I think we're in a good cycle right now.
That's awesome, man. So coming back to Blink 182 for a second, what would you say is the legacy of this?
Of that album?
Yeah.
Of that album in particular, I think overwhelmingly, especially as time will pass more, it will be the most well-known Blink album. Like I was saying before, I think it's become, at the legacy of Blink, I think they've become the most important punk band since 1990. And even kind of like, no, I think less and less people that are going to be 14, right, are going to be able to get into like the Descendants or into like the Clash or Ramones, just because it doesn't, up until that point when you start finding music on your own, I think most of the music you hear is on the radio, right?
Yeah, sadly.
And everything is just so polished. Like, if you took a kid that, or a guy or a girl, right, that was listening to just radio music through most of their life, and they're like, I want to find something else, and they'd only been hearing what's on the radio right now, and you handed them like a Descendants record, they would be like, why does this sound so bad?
Because most of that
stuff just sounds bad, you know? And that's okay, because stuff that we started listening to wasn't so polished, I think, but something about like those Blink records is more polished and more accessible to dive into. And to me, that's kind of the sticking point. Like, Dookie even kind of sounds like crap. Dude Ranch sounds like crap, right? But if you play someone All the Small Things or Feeling This, it sounds like it could be on the radio today.
Yeah.
But it's just different. And yeah, that's kind of my thought. And it's definitely like a controversial opinion.
It's also the age thing too.
It's definitely an age
thing. Yeah, it's totally the age thing.
Like,
yeah.
I think I'm closer to the younger age.
Yeah, yeah,
and
definitely.
So what someone in 10 years, like, maybe Blink 182 in another 10 years will be very outdated, but
yeah,
I don't know. I think there's a lot of staying power. When they came back from their breakup, like, they've only become so much bigger, and now there's generations of people that love Blink. Like, that's what I think so cool about Untitled coming from the previous albums. Like, when you're an immature kid, like, Enema of the State rules because it's just like funny and enjoyable, and then you get a little older, and it's like, You can grow with Blink, I think. You can grow. You hit Boxcar Racer's album and you're like, oh, this is serious. And
then
you hit Untitled and it's like, this is serious. And to me, that's why Blink is so important to me, because I've been able to grow with them. Similarly, like, even Brand New, like, Your Favorite Weapon rules as a pop punk emo album, but getting from there to like Devil and God is insane to me that a band could do that, and that I've grown with that, and I think that's really neat. So yeah, I think the legacy of Untitled is that it's like I think it's the best Blink 182 album. I like the reunion album Neighborhoods and the EP not nearly as much, and I hope that if they ever do another album that it'll rule, and I hope it will, because I trust them as writers. Yeah. Like, they're good writers. It's hard to say that they're bad writers, right? They've done a lot of good stuff. But I mean, that will always be my favorite, I think. I don't know an album that would take that over.
Hmm. Yeah, I think I'd show my kids some of the early Blink-182 stuff, but I'd also still show them The Clash, The Ramones.
Yeah. And that's, but so for me, and I know a lot of people my age that do love The Descendants, right?
Yeah. Pep Talk is still.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that do like that my age, but at the same time, I think I know more people my age that don't listen to anything before Green Day or Blink.
Which is totally understandable.
Cause I don't listen to anything really before Blink. I maybe this is like absurd of me. There's probably not anything in my iTunes library before Nirvana.
Wow.
There's probably nothing before the year 1992 in my iTunes library.
That's interesting.
Which is kind of insane, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's probably only going to become more and more true for more kids, right?
Yeah. Especially with the rate that everything comes out now. Like there's so much to digest.
I obviously know Descendants, and I don't dislike it at all. It's just like, it's not my thing. It doesn't sound like my thing.
Yeah.
Nor does any of that stuff. Like, I appreciate them. I appreciate NoFX or like Less Than Jake or whatever. It's just not necessarily my thing.
I feel you.
What I'm really interested in is, again, in 5 or 10 years, like, what is the next 21-year-old and the next 14-year-old? I'm curious if they like Blink or Brand New or the bands that we see as current, like, pillars or traditional bands that you show a kid to, right?
Or if Paramore will be that pillar.
Right.
Exactly. Like,
Paramore could absolutely be that next version, which is crazy because they have transitioned. Now they're on the radio.
Yeah.
Now they're transitioning, kind of like Blink or Green Day or any of these bands that we talked about.
It's crazy how it works, man.
Yeah.
Music, man. Music. Yeah. Any closing words to the people out there?
I think that's it. Just listen always to Blink-182, to Sum 41, and to Newfound Glory. And pop punk is great.
What do you think about Not Without a Fight by Newfound Glory?
I like Not Without a Fight. A lot of people...
I always have to bring that up.
My favorite Newfound Glory album is Coming Home.
Ooh, very good. Those two are two of my favorites.
Yeah. Okay, so you do like Not Without a Fight?
I really enjoy it.
A lot of people hate it.
It hit me instantly. I really enjoy it.
Oh, that's super interesting. Yeah, I didn't, when I was a kid, when Coming Home came out, I think that was 2005. Yeah, I was like 12. I definitely did not like it. And I don't think I started to really like it until the beginning of college. Now it's definitely my favorite Newfound Glory record. I like Not Without a Fight, though. It's just perfectly pop punk, and it gets a little into the easy core genre that I like 4 Year Strong.
I also love 4 Year Strong.
I love 4 Year Strong, man.
Dude, how are we not friends already?
Know.
How did this happen?
I don't know.
We all know.
Here we are. What do you think of Enemy of the World?
I enjoy it. What a killer
album.
Dude, we have so many friends in the same circles. How does this not happen?
That's really interesting to me about New York. My whole entire life, I've lived in Manhattan, and... Again, growing up, no one cared about this music, and I was always like, this is such a shame. Like, I'm in New York, and no one I know likes punk music at all. And I went to Philly, and I found a lot of people that liked that music. And then in the early years of college, I found so many more people back here in New York at home that love this music that I just never knew because I was 16, and what 25-year-old is going to hang out with a 16-year-old? You know, perfectly valid. But I just didn't know that there were people here because I wasn't in music or working in music yet. And I got lunch or brunch the other day, this past weekend, with Tom from Washed Up Emo, and we were talking about that. I live on the Upper West Side with my family, and he used to live like 20 blocks down. I was like, I never knew that, you know. But there's so many people around. It's just so much easier to find people around you now that like that same music.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't before.
It's
awesome.
I hear you on that.
So, we can go to 4 Year Strong shows.
Exactly. We're probably going to bump into each other a lot of shows now and be like, hey, what's up?
What's up?
Well, thank you for being on the show, sir.
Thank you for having me.
I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in to another episode of your favorite album. When you get a chance, check out Astenia. Oh, no, we said Feeling This, right?
Feeling This.
Off Blink-182's Untitled album. That way you can see what Zach Zarrillo is talking about. It'll also be on the Your Favorite Album Spotify playlist. Until then, we're all over the internet, yourfavoritealbum.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, iTunes, all that stuff. All of them. There's tons of them. But until next time, have a good one, everybody. Bye.